God.
God.
Grant me his to his change. For courage to change the
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would just like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand. Anybody?
Hey, welcome.
Welcome.
Just hey, welcome.
Get a first name?
Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Angry.
Hey, welcome.
Met
glad
you
here.
Met you guys on Saturday night. Glad you're here. Anybody else? All right. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from any unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clearness and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. The AA preamble says Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So for anybody who's new, the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And I'm particularly excited tonight. I love these two men. We're talking about step 11 tonight.
Yeah.
Help me welcome Paul and Matt.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to read you to death, but we're just going to do a paragraph and then we'll get to sharing. Step 11 says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So we'll start tonight on page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Matt.
Hey, I'm Matt. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, this particular part, I think, you know, for me, as an alcoholic, you know, when I first came here, I did a ton of drinking and other stuff. And like, I had no idea if there was a higher power, if there was anything out there that, you know, if there was, that higher power was angry at me. Kept doing horrible stuff like DUIs, divorce. I don't know. I kept getting arrested, things like that. I mean, you know, it was just, I didn't have a real great relationship. I know this is going to sound surprising, but I was raised Catholic and I thought that I had some sort of relationship with a higher power or God for a long time. And I was so emotionally bankrupt when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know what else to do. And my sponsor was like, you need to start doing some prayers on a daily basis. And I was, you know, of course I was defiant and I said, no, thank you. And, you know, until it hurt enough or I was in enough pain and agony that I was like, fine, I'll do it. And I just would say some prayers. And a lot of them came right out of readings. I just read straight out of different literature to try to get prayers out. And in the meditation part, I did some weird stuff. I lit candles and did all the weird stuff, sitting in the floor trying to be quiet, which that didn't work for me either. It was a bunch of weird different, you know, incense, whatever it took. I was going to get there, right? I was an alcoholic and I'm going to get this to the best of my ability. I did do what the reading said. I did, you know, take kind of a look back at my day and saw how I behaved throughout the day. And that was pretty hard to do in early sobriety for me. Because I really didn't know the difference between right and wrong. I know that sounds very juvenile and very, you know, just easy, you know, like you should know the difference between right and wrong, but I didn't. I'd lied to myself for so long. I just thought that these things were right and this is the way that it was. And everybody did what I was doing. You know, I had a great convincer. So, you know, there was a lot of things that I was doing that was still morally wrong. And just, you know, I didn't get sober and get good, you know? So I was having a hard time figuring out what that looked like. You know, I didn't give up though. I stayed praying and I stayed meditating in some senses. And I did look at what I was doing throughout the day and tried to identify them to the best of my ability. And one of the things that I did was I leaned on a sponsor a lot and talked with that sponsor about where I was at and the things that were going on. And I started getting it, you know, kind of running things by him and Paul, who's awesome. Paul and we've been around each other since probably I was 2 weeks sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known him ever since. And we've been best of friends since then. And we bounce a lot of stuff off each other. I'm glad nobody could record those calls because we've had some shady ones, some really weird conversations. But, you know, I mean, yeah. I'm not recording.
It's something I got to talk to you about after the meeting.
Note to self, start recording all as well. I got to get leverage. Yeah, so it was, you know, it was just a really, it was a weird time for me. And I remember coming up on, I was probably about 7 years sober and my sponsor got a new sponsor. And one of the things that his sponsor wanted him to do was the 11 step. I think his license plate actually read 11 step. Paul and I shared the same sponsor at the time. And he was on this journey where he was like, yeah, I'm going to take you guys and we're going to really concentrate on the 11 step. And I said, I don't really know what that means, but let's do it. You know, it's obviously I'm willing to do anything to stay sober. So let's do it. And I started doing the 11 step prayer and spending time in meditation and doing the things that he asked me to do. And I remember I was probably about 5 months into it. And I remember going to him and saying, man, this shit is just not working for me. Like this 11 step, I don't know what it's supposed to do for me, but I'm doing this 11 step prayer. This, like, you know, I'm reading it and it's like lip service. And I remember telling him convincingly, right? Because I'm going to convince him that the 11 step is not working for me. It's what we do, right? I'm like, nope, it's not working for me. And I remember him looking at me and he just said to me, just as plain as could be, okay, stop doing it. No argument, no nothing. And he just said, okay, stop doing it then. If you don't think it works, stop doing it. And I'm like, I remember having the most sinking feeling in my stomach ever. Like, man, I can't stop doing it now. You know, like I remember thinking, man, I'm just now starting to get somewhere with like a higher power. Like it scared me to death, the thought of stopping doing the 11 step. And where I was at, that just, you know, that I didn't think that was fathomable. I didn't think I was capable of getting to a place where I was scared to stop praying or meditating and trying to gain more knowledge of what my higher power was. So for me, I mean, this one really hits home. You know, like I said, I think now though, I don't do it so much at night. One of the things that I've come really in touch with is I do it throughout the day often. I watch pretty much nonstop of what my behavior is like throughout the day. Because if I do something or say something that I know is off, I know it almost immediately now. Whereas I used to sit in it for a really long time. So yeah, I'm going to let Paul. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Hey, everybody. My name is Paul and I'm an alcoholic.
Holy,
hey,
Paul. You guys, so good to be here, man. I love you guys so much. Man.
Yeah, dude, I thought, you know, for the first few years of my sobriety, I did the 9 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. And
I really thought that when you got into double digits, that it was the advanced AA.
Mm.
That was a level of AA proficiency that I was not able to reach. And I could not master that. And so I didn't try. Because, you know, if I'm not going to be great at it, then I'm not going to try. And so I just remember thinking that I didn't have a problem with this higher power situation, but you know, in my mind, it was good for you. Mm. If that works, that's cute. Like, that's awesome. It's sweet. So you do it, you scam. I didn't care. But it wasn't a part of my life. And I didn't realize how important it was until, like Matt said, our sponsor got a new sponsor who had 11th step on his license plate. Mm. And it was so funny because right at that 7-year mark, Matt, I won't speak for him, but, you know, the conversation we had, our lives were melting mm-hmm. the F apart. I'm talking like melting, dude. And I, you know, at work. So, you know, when Paul runs the show, what it looks like is I'm starting to have kids. They need things. I need things. That requires money. So at work, I'm going to start lying and cheating and doing shady little stuff that's not technically wrong, but I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyways because nobody's ever told me I couldn't to get ahead and to make the money that I feel like I deserve, right? And so I was very, very successful. Yay, Paul. But I was morally bankrupt. I was just stepping on people to get what I needed. And I was just acting with some reckless abandon and really doing some ugly, ugly things. Would you like to hear one? I'll tell you real quick. I took over this team of salespeople, and they were tenured agents. They were super successful, except for the past few years, they hadn't been. And I was pretty upset with their inability to self-motivate. So in the first meeting, and I didn't remember this until a manager pulled me in his office, or my director pulled me in the office to ask me if this happened. I took their results in a team meeting and acted like I was urinating on them, right? And I don't even remember that. I was so full of ego that I was just rolling with it, right? I was just like, yeah, I'm going to show them I'll piss on their results. Anyways, after we were number one for a couple of years, those people were as sick of me. And they turned around. It's like a boomerang, like it says in the book, and it shredded me, right? And I almost lost my job. And I was trying so hard to make these people's lives better and my family's lives better. I didn't understand why it was happening to me. I was really melting down because I had put all of my self-worth in this title at work and in the position that I had at work. Everything I had was on my success at work. Unfortunately, it was built on lies and deceit. So it wasn't long for the world. And when that happened, when I almost lost my job, I lost myself. I got really full of fear. And I remember this one night in particular, man. And you know, like, I'm a good alcoholic. I'll foxhole prayer like the best of them, right? Oh, please, baby, sweet baby Jesus, please save me. I don't want to go to jail, or I don't want this person to leave me, or I'm too afraid to do X because it's going to hurt. I just, like, I will pray real hard when I need to. And it was different this time, though, because I couldn't get to sleep. I was having constant migraines and constant shoulder pain. I was talking to Matt. I was complaining to everybody about how these people had wronged me and all this stuff was happening. I just couldn't get it. And I was asleep one night, and I woke up, it was like 4 a.m, and I could not get back to sleep. Mm. And my sponsor, we were hitting step 11, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll hit my knees. So I get on my knees and I pray, and I was just, it was just such an honest, because I was reading this part here. It says it's, it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. Mm. For me, my proper attitude is in so much pain that I got nowhere else to go. Mm. And so I hit my knees that night and I'm like, God, please take this insanity from my heart and please help for me to get back to sleep. Got back in bed, boom, out, right? It was a little thing, but it was a glimpse that there was something else there. And, you know, I'm not going to get all theological on you, but I prayed and it worked, right? And it's this consistent, when I bring the right attitude to these things, that I'm humble and I'm asking just humbly to be of service or to be outgoing love or to be whatever, these prayers get answered and beautiful things happen in my life. When I snatch that back and I start asking for stuff, it's crickets. It's just really, it's really wild how that works. And when we get into this other paragraph about how I should be self-reflective, I don't know about you guys. Not a strong suit of mine when I'm living full of self and ego and selfishness. And so I don't care about this. It's what does Paul want, think, need, feel, and desire. That's all that matters. I don't care who I've stepped on, who I've hurt, what I've done. Have I been dishonest? Of course. Like, it's literally, I live in lies. I don't know. What are you talking about? Why would I even think about these things? And so this is an interesting thing, because it's asking me to think about, have I worked the principles in all of my affairs throughout this day? I mean, great if you can answer yes to every single one of those. That's pretty daggone hard. But like, that's what we're asked to constantly kind of work towards that. And that's why we ask ourselves these questions. And I might not do it at night, but I'm doing it throughout the day. I'm doing it with my guys when I talk to sponsees or my sponsor or my friends. We're asking each other these questions, or we're being honest when we haven't. And I think that's a huge part of this step for me. Thanks, Mitchell.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. We're going to continue on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can deploy our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. We are often surprised what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
Matt, I'm an alcoholic. I'm gonna share something with you. I never my sponsor, my original first sponsor, told me I had to read page 86 and 87. Like, that was part of our deal. I had to read that daily. I didn't do that for about 6 years or 7 years. So I read it once. I mean, I get the gist of it. You know what I mean? I get it. So for me, you know, now what that looks like, obviously I was defiant, and, you know, I didn't want to do the whole God thing, right? I'm not drinking. I'm sober. I'm sponsoring other guys. I'm helping people. I'm doing stuff. I'm doing different stuff, right? Like, I'm doing just enough. Like Paul talked about, I got to this mark in my sobriety and I was kind of like, is this it? You know, is this all there is? Like, this is as good as it gets, huh? And one of the things that I hadn't been doing was the stuff I said I would do, right? Like, it's just as simple as that. I mean, I just really wasn't doing it. So one of the things that I added to my morning routine is I actually don't leave for work until about 6:15. I get up at 4:45 and I spend an hour in the morning where I do my prayers. I read page 86 and 87 all the way through, word for word, all the way through. And, I sit and I spend time thinking about the day ahead of me. And I'll share a story, because this morning I did this. I was tired. I didn't want to get up early. I did my prayers. I did my meditation. I did this reading, and I looked at the day ahead of me. And about that time, I don't know if you guys, anybody has to deal with these, but I had an asshole at work that I have to deal with. And he's a good one too. And he shot me an email like right when I'm done with my prayer and stuff. And I'm like, son of a bitch, the day is going to be like that today, huh? And, so I set myself in this motion of just horrible thought and just what kind of crap this is going to be. And I get dressed and all that, and I get ready to go. And I'm like, you know what? Let me try something different. I threw an AA podcast on the way to work. I didn't even get to listen to it because I had two sponsees call me this morning on the way into work. And by the time I got to work, I had no idea what I was even like frustrated with or who I was mad with or whatever. Like it was gone. You know, it was removed from me as if, you know, it was never there. And the only thing I can attribute that to is the fact that I get up and I've learned how to deal with situations that used to completely baffle me. Intuitively know how to deal with it. The other thing that I've been gifted with as a result of doing this reading and these readings on step 11 is the ability to stop when agitated and understand that I am agitated at that moment. And it doesn't always require me to bark at somebody or tell somebody how wrong they are and how right I am, because I like to do that a lot. I like to talk over you and, you know, because I need you to understand my perspective on something. Like, so I have the ability to stop and pause now, though. Fortunately and unfortunately, my wife gets a lot of that. And she's gotten pretty good at pointing that out to me and telling me, hey, you know, are you going to let me say something or, you know, you're just going to tell me how it is. But so that's why I tell you that, like earlier, you know, I have to pause throughout the day. I have to stop and I have to call other guys and talk to people in the program and say, hey, this is what's going on. And a lot of times, you know, my reality is make believe. Does that make sense? Like what I think is really real in my head, I'll run it by somebody and they're like, yeah, I don't think it was like that. And that tells me I need to stop. One of the things that I do in that situation and in a lot of situations throughout the day is, and this is not me at all, so I don't know really who's, this is like one of those things where I'm hearing somebody else say it, but like I'm like outside my body looking down on me saying it. But one of the things that I do is I stop and I pray for guidance in the situation now, which is not me at all. Like I said, I know how to intuitively handle everything. I was taught that by my father. If you work hard, if you don't know the answer, you work harder, damn it, and you'll learn it. You know, like you will get it. If you want something, you work extra hard. And that really never got me anywhere. When I ask for guidance and have patience in the situation, like Paul talked about, whether it's at work or with family or with friends or with sponsees, whatever the case, my home group, whatever that might be, you know, I have to ask for guidance in it and patience with people. And I find that I'm on a different plane, you know, when I'm doing all the stuff in the program that I said I would do. And I'm being that source of outgoing love that Paul talked about. I'm on a different plane. I'm not the same person. Sometimes it's almost surreal for me to look, like I said, be like out of body experience, looking down on this person who's talking kindly to someone who in my head, I'm like punching this person in the throat. You know what I mean? Like I'm learning how to deal with people in a way that is loving and kind and caring. I don't do it perfectly. I can tell you that. I still make mistakes. But for the most part, you know, I've been given a gift that I never knew existed by simply learning about the 11th step and doing this reading in the morning and understanding what my day is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I supposed to be? And that's what I think my higher power is. You know, like Paul says this, you know, my higher power is all the things that I want to be, like kind and loving and caring and, you know, giving to other people. Like that's what my higher power is. And, you know, the 11th step gives that to me. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. You know, Matt alluded to it like this, this idea, like right around 7 years, I got into this, I guess it's a pretty common theme. It's like the doldrums of AA, where there was just no wind in my sail. And I was seeing the same people and hearing the same stuff and doing the same things every day. And I was like, this is it. I'm doing the 9 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm waking up every day. I'm trying to be a good guy. Like,
9.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Is this it? Like, I'm not drinking, but my life's still pretty shit. Like, it wasn't bad, but it was just like, meh. And I think that's the perfect noise to characterize the 7 years. Meh. Because when I first came in, I had to make a start. So I made AA my higher power. I made the steps of AA. I made the group of AA my higher power. And that worked. Until it just meh. And And I didn't know that the point of this thing is not to just not drink. The point of AA, of course, is to help you to not drink at first. But like, really, if this is a lifelong thing, I don't want to just not drink. I know a lot of people in AA that are like, meh. And they're like, 40 years of meh. Like, shit. Screw that, dude. I don't want that in my life. Golly, dude, that's a long period of meh. Yeah. Like, and so it was really interesting when my life was melting down and I started praying and I started trying to grow an experience with a higher power. It was interesting because my sponsor was like, hey man, are you praying? And I was like, no. He's like, well, then you're not doing what we said you would do at the very beginning, like 8 years ago. Also, what? And all again, it's a relationship with a higher power. You don't get God's grace by osmosis. You have to build a relationship with something. You know, you pray, you have a conversation with, you ask for help, you offer yourself to be of service. Like, it's a relationship. And how many people are in a relationship? Paul is like, two, sometimes three if you're lucky. And I'm just kidding, I'm an idiot. And so anyways, I could get with that. I'm building a relationship, right? And so that I could get my head around. And so he was like, and also, what does it look like in the morning for you? I was like, well, usually I get out of bed and I just haul ass. He's like, right. He's like, so what do you think about? Like, what's the first thing you think about? And I'm like, I'm really aware of how I feel. Like, immediately, dude. I'm like, I don't feel good. Right. And so it's just like, he was like, I think about it as like this horror movie where I wake up and every channel is me with jazz hands, right? And I'm hitting the remote and it's just me, like, it's the Paul show. It's just so ugly. And I just desperately want to turn the channel on that too, because I'm so sick of myself, right? I'm so sick of self. I want to be done with that. And at this time, I was just so bankrupt and meh that I started praying on a regular basis. And it was really neat, man, because what started happening was I started seeing other people. I know that sounds crazy, but I started like considering other humans in my life. I started, this is going to sound really stupid, but I started hearing birds, right? They're everywhere, but I didn't hear them because I was so busy with myself, considering what I thought and what I needed and what I had to do at work and who was pissing me off and what person I was going to try and fire for violating their FMLA contract. Like, all of these things, like, I was just so caught up in the noise of myself that I couldn't hear anything or anybody else. And so it was a really big thing when I started praying on a regular basis and started actually meditating in the morning. And I'll tell you what that looks like for me in a second. But if you have white noise in your life, if your brain is full of friggin' white noise, I feel you, dude. The only thing that breaks that connection or that severs that for me is hitting my knees first thing in the morning and asking God to just use me. Just you. I don't care what this day looks like. I don't even ask for stuff anymore. I'm just like, hey, man, I'm going to fuck this up. Please just take this. I'm here. You use me. I'm showing up. I'm just here, dude. And so, you know, what does that look like? So I pray, I hit my knees. I pray. Usually my daughter's there trying to make my bed while I'm praying. She's like, so I'm praying. And then I do some readings and I sit for literally 2 minutes. My attention span, all I got is 2 minutes. But what I do is I set a timer. I read the St. Francis prayer, which is something that's really crucial to me because it helps me to focus on being for others. Every single part of that prayer is put yourself aside and be there for others. And so when I'm in that place, I'm out of the way, which is really the key to all of this, is just getting the hell out of the way so that I can be of service, so I can enjoy people and people want to be around me, which is pretty nice. And so I just pray and I take these really deep breaths for 2 minutes in. And it's your will, not mine. That's it. It's 2 minutes of that. But what happens is when I'm in that moment and I'm breathing heavy and I'm taking that in and breathing that out, things pop into my head. You know, I live with my future ex-wife currently, and there's a lot of stuff around that, right? So I breathe that in. Just take it. And then I'm able to go downstairs and like give her a hug and like get on with the day, right? Like, it's just really, it's an amazing thing to pray, right? So I've been talking about this with my guys recently because it kind of just hit me. I pray in the morning to ask for guidance. Mm. And I meditate in the morning to receive that guidance, right? Like, it's pretty simple when I thought about it that way. It's like I ask and then I just get quiet and listen. And when I'm able to receive that, what I've just prayed for, and I'm able to receive it and just and get myself out of the Paul feedback loop, I'm really able to focus outside of this 1-inch square in the middle of my forehead, and I'm able to see you guys. And I gotta tell you, dude, I've been praying my ass off this past year, and I have been meditating all the time. And I'm not talking about like praying in the morning. I'm talking about probably every 7.5 minutes. It's a God, please save me from anger and fear. Please direct me. And, you know, it's just been a really rough year. But I was talking to David about this the other day. The amount of grace that is just naturally in my heart is not anywhere near what came in this room. Everybody was a friggin' idiot. Everybody was garbage. Everybody deserved me. Like, it was just this crazy, nothing's ever good enough. And then my life has just melted to shit, but I'm centered in God and in this program, and everything's okay. What's that about? It's because it's not about me. That's what it's about. And I can't do that unless I work at it and build that relationship. So that's what I got for that.
Thanks. Continuing on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation that we be shown throughout the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, and we're careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Matt.
Yeah, Matt, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, this is great. I mean, there's not a ton I can add to that because that part is so perfect, really. You know, because it kind of tells me, you know, when I get in that spot, like immediately start thinking about other people, and my prayers are to be like Paul said, I was good at the foxhole prayer, like, you know, God, please get me out of this DUI. I swear I won't drink again and drive. Said that a lot of times did that. A lot. Yeah, a lot. I'll never do it again. I swear I won't. Tomorrow. But I mean, you know, I think, you know, looking at this, one of the things that I, Paul was talking about the white noise, and was like, my thought processes were a blender. You know, I woke up, like, that was the easiest way to explain it. I wake up and I was off to the races with my head, like, you know, about this person, about that person, how am I going to arrange this? What am I going to do with this? And it was just so loud. And it was all about what I was going to get, how I was going to get it, how much of it I was going to get, you know, whatever you want to say. Like, I was checking all the boxes of what I was going to get that day. And one of the things that this reading tells me is that I need to do the opposite of that, right? My default is not that. I had to practice doing the opposite for a long time, you know. Like Paul talked about, I was kind of in that AA purgatory almost, where I was floating in this area where I'm like, hey, do I say a prayer? Do I not say a prayer? If I do say a prayer, what does it sound like? You know, I mean, I'm like overthinking everything and I'm making it as complicated as possible. And I'll never forget, I was going through some rough times and had some resentments building, and I'm doing like a fourth and a fifth step every 2 weeks now. You know, and I'm just building all this stuff up, you know what I mean? I'm like going, I'm going through just tons of stuff. And you know, my sponsor and the guys that I hang out with, they're like, you know, why don't you pray for that person? And I'm like, didn't you just hear what that person did to me? You know what I mean? They're like, look, all right, look, read it in the book. It's right here. Pray for that person for 2 weeks, you know, straight, and see what happens. And you know, so I set off on that journey and started, you know, with one of the very first resentments that I couldn't get rid of, that just hung on with me for a long time, even though I'd done all the steps, I'd done all the, you know, I'd made amends, I'd done all that. And it was just like, it constantly kept coming back up. And I'll never forget, I was fighting with this person over like $20 for something. And it was eating my lunch. Like I was like, I'm like up at night, like screw them. You know what I mean? They're not getting that $20. And I remember it was like, I was talking to a couple of the guys and they're like, dude, why don't you just pay for it? Like, why don't you just give the $20 and be done? And then like, and I was like, screw that. That's the principle of it. It's the principality of it. You know what I mean? The principality of it. You know, it's so I'm like, no. So what I did was I did what Paul talked about earlier was I started saying prayers for this person every morning. And I don't know whether it was 2 weeks, it might've been earlier than that, but I gave up the $20 and I learned a power that I never knew that I had. Like I had the ability to do everything that the 11 step prayer says, like, you know, I can love instead of be loved. I can, you know what I mean? I can do all of the stuff that's on the good side and clean up my side of the street and keep it clean. I gave that $20 and it was, I'm not going to lie, it didn't come right out of my fingers. It was like, had to pull really hard to get it out, but I gave it to him. And, you know, and it was then there that I learned that I had the ability to go to a higher power, and be able to pray for someone else and their well-being and their happiness and their joy and that their life is good and that they get all the things that I want for myself. And that's just not my default, you know, that's just not who I am as a person. And, I learned though that through doing that, it gave me relief. And I noticed that the thought process has slowed down. I noticed that person did not wind up in my every morning thought process of waking up and hating on somebody. You know, I was able to release that person and let go of that. And that brought a lot of love and peace to my life. See, and like Paul talked about, one of the things that was important to me when I got here and got sober was, man, I saw people that were happy in the program, mm-hmm. and I saw people that were just like Paul. How you say it?
Meh. It's more of like a murmur. It's not a high pitch. It's a murmur.
Like, you know, I knew people that were like that, and I knew people that were happy. And, you know, I really wanted what the happy people had. And, you know, that involved me saying prayers and doing stuff that was outside my comfort zone. It challenged me to become active in this program and do the things that I wasn't used to doing. Cause it wasn't anymore. Like I got to that point. It wasn't anymore about not picking up a drink today. Like, obviously that's important, right? Like that's probably the most important thing that I don't do that. But I mean, outside of that now it's, you know, how do I stay sober and happy? How do I stay free? And I think that's probably the part that gets me the most now is now that I've experienced freedom and I know I'm an addict. So, you know, freedom is addictive to me now. I want that freedom. You know, I don't want to give somebody the power to live in my thought processes like that anymore. I want to be free and I want to be able to give to people freely of myself without, and I don't do this perfectly either, but I want to be able to give to people and not expect it in return. And that's where real freedom lives for me. And in that reading, it kind of describes that freedom for me. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, man. That's funny that you ended with freedom, because that's exactly what kept popping out to me, because I heard it said recently in a meeting that you know, the 12 steps of AA is a perfect path to freedom. Mm. The only problem is I'm content with relief. I just like,
I love it.
Yeah, you man. Gotta teach me. That's a good noise. I got you. I just didn't know that the other three steps of Alcoholics Anonymous give me so much relief. I just didn't know. I had no idea. They were there, but I just neglected them. And I, you know, I've come to realize a couple of things. I have a unlimited capacity to get in my own way and to be selfish and self-centered and self-seeking and to neglect other people and really just not consider them. It's not neglect. I think neglect would mean that I see them and choose to not do anything. I'm so tunnel vision that I just don't see people, dude. And I can't imagine being that these days, but it's interesting that, you know,
the joy that comes from not being consumed with self is so complete that I cannot even imagine going back to that. I look back at the first few years of my sobriety or how I was when I was drinking, and it's just, I'm not ashamed of it anymore, but I just can't imagine being that guy anymore. Because living this way is just such a free, it's just so free, dude. And I, what I mean by that is I don't have constant migraines. My shoulders aren't tight. I don't get caught off in traffic and try to like do the pit maneuver on somebody because I'm freaking out because I like, how dare you? I'm so insulted, my integrity. Like, you just really realize like how much you don't matter when you're trying to be for other people. And that is such a beautiful thing, dude, but I don't get that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's beautiful, but I can't do it myself. I can't make that happen on my own. I could be working the hell out of AA's, most of AA's steps, neglect this stuff, and still be a selfish, self-centered idiot. I just, this is the crucial piece for me, man. This was where the doors flew open, and I just started actually enjoying my sober life. You know, I got to tell you, dude, I went through something this past week. This whole year has just been a friggin' like, you know, like, I hope you saw that on the camera. Fuck 2023 in the beginning of 2024. It's just been such garbage that I'm amazed at how much garbage can be piled into one dumpster fire. But the somebody that I really love tried to commit suicide this past weekend. And they were missing in the morning, and I got full of fear, and I sat and I prayed. I took my kids to school. I prayed, I meditated, and I got quiet. And I couldn't get in touch with this person, so I had to go to the police to find them. But I called guys in the program, and one guy was in law enforcement. He helped me find out what to do. I called another guy who's dealt with suicide attempts, and I was just crying. And he was like, I've been there. It's okay. Here's what we're going to do. And he walked me through that. And he told me how to behave towards this person when I go to see them. And I showed up. And I don't know how to explain this, but the person that I was going to see was with somebody that I hate with all of my heart. Hated with all of my heart. If you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have slit this person's throat if I ran into them. Even sober AF, I would have killed this person. That's how much hatred I had in my heart for this person. Crazy thing happens. I show up at that hospital. I shake his hand. I check on the person. I talk to the nurses. I ask this guy to go help me with something. And we end up hugging. I hug this dude. I would have headbutt him to death 2 weeks ago.
I can vouch for that.
You can vouch for that. This has been eating my lunch, dude. But I've been working on it. And I've been praying for the guy, like Matt was saying. And I prayed that morning. And I knew I was going to mess everything up and make it about myself. And I desperately did not want to do that. So I got quiet and I got right with God and I got right with my guys in AA and I ended up hugging this dude. And throughout that whole process was able to have the grace to be somebody who I'm not. Just like fundamentally, dude, to be quiet. I'm not quiet, but I was quiet. And I asked questions. I don't ask questions. I was able to just be kind and loving. And I can't tell you enough. You know, David and I were talking about this the other day. We had each other crying on the phone like a couple of babies. But we were talking about grace and how beautiful it is to have grace in moments and to appreciate the beautiful little things in even the worst circumstances. I cannot do that alone, dude. I can't do that alone. You can't either. I need to be tied into something bigger than myself. My higher power is outgoing love. When I'm tied into that, I'm tied into you. And I consider you and I enjoy my life. It's really that simple. Even in the worst moments. Guys, that sucked so hard. That was so scary and so shit. And I could show up for my life, dude, and not make things worse and make them about myself. That's beautiful to me, man. Because I'm that guy that shows up at a funeral and makes it about me.
Drunk.
Oh, somebody died? Paul's so sad. Feel sorry for him. Anyways, dude, I'm so assured by the fact that my first thought is garbage when I'm facing indecision. Most of the time, the second thought's equally garbage. It's that third thought after I've prayed, called somebody in AA and sought some guidance, that I come to something resembling a sane and rational idea that I can act on and know that that's right action. So, man, prayer, meditation, and AA, who knew?
Yeah, we should all go home now.
Yeah!
That was a great place to think. We got one more paragraph. As we go through the day, on page 87, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Mm. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily, mm-hmm. for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. Mm. It works. It really does.
I really jumped the gun with my last share.
Yeah, that's so sorry. Well, we don't have much to talk
about. Sorry, I got tons of examples. Don't worry, guys. I'll fuck everything
yeah.
up.
So, yeah, for me, you know, this reading, actually, it works. It really does kind of sums up that whole part. Like, it's, I don't know how better you can say it than that. I mean, it's, man, I can tell you, I was exhausted for a lot of years.
Mm.
Just forcing my way through life in general, like Paul talked about, the situations that arose, the things that I did, the people that I dealt with, the loved ones that I had that were in my way of getting what I wanted or what I thought I wanted. Man, I was exhausted nonstop. Even in early sobriety, I continued to exhaust myself on a regular basis until I just finally just laid down and passed out for, you know, a couple of hours. I remember my mind being so busy, you know, a couple months into sobriety, maybe close to a year, just I couldn't sleep. I'd walk around Target aimlessly, walking down aisles, carefully avoiding the beer aisle, by the way. but I would, you know, I'd just walk around just because my mind was so busy. I wasted so much energy and time, but it was part of my process and part of my story to get me to where I was going. That's the way that I like to look at it now. So it wasn't really wasted time, right? It was what it took to get me to a place where I was motivated enough to do something different. You know, I got to a spot where like we've talked about, you know, other people became more important than myself. Not always. Like I said, I still have the ability to take it back on a daily basis whenever I really, really want something bad. Whenever I think it's something I really need, I'll still steal it back. The one thing that I find myself doing the most probably out of that reading is thy will, not mine, be done, which is probably the most powerful thing I do throughout the day. Because I still come upon a lot of people, whether it's wife, kids, work people, they still piss me off. There's still things that I disagree with. There's still situations that happen throughout life. And like I talked about earlier, I pause in those situations and I go through a process now. Now, I will tell you, yesterday was not graceful. I did lose my patience with my wife for a minute. So I'm telling on myself in front of everybody.
You're doing
but I mean, I did. I lost my patience. I'm not perfect at this, you know. The difference is today is that I knew that I lost my patience and I knew what I'd done, what I said and how I said it was wrong. And I immediately went and made it right. She wasn't real receptive to it at the time. So might have taken a few minutes. It was a little, but it took a little while. But, you know, we got to a spot and, you know, I was ashamed at that moment because I had acted out of selfishness and just what I wanted out of that situation. And she wasn't seeing it my way, damn it. And you know, David's laughing because we talk about this all the time. You just I'm playing the producer, the director, you know, you need to do things my way, which is funny because I've never done it my way once and it ever worked out right, you know. Every time I got my way, I wound up like in AA or jail or somewhere. You know what I mean? Like when I got exactly what I thought I wanted, you know, there I was. You know, so I have a lot of proven track record to show that I don't know shit about life, right? Like that I just simply left to my own devices, make some really poor decisions. And, you know, I take this and it's fun because it works. It really does. I take the opportunity to pause now. And I take what Paul talked about, and that was the best word that he could use to describe it, the grace to move throughout my day with people that are around me and try to give them something that I was not capable for a really long time to do. I give them the grace and the opportunity to be a part of my life, and that I can be loving, caring, kind, and patient with the people about me. I'll be honest with you. My daughter is home from college right now for spring break, and we were having a conversation yesterday, and she was like, I don't know that I've ever seen you this patient and quiet. And she was like talking to me about some things going on in her life, and I was just listening. That's one of the things that my sponsor challenged me to do. I went on a golf trip where a bunch of guys were drinking, my father and brother and everybody, and he said, you know, maybe this may be the opportunity for you to just sit quietly and ask them questions about how they are or what's going on in their lives. Maybe you shouldn't have a preconceived notion of what those people are doing. And I did. I had the best time ever. I spent a week with them, and maybe not in the evenings after they've been drinking on the golf course all day, but I you know, in the morning we'd have coffee and I'd ask my dad how he's doing, and I would listen. And I was patient, and like with my daughter, I was patient, and it freaks me out a little bit, to be honest, that somebody would say to me, you know, you're the person that I can count on. You're the person that I can trust to talk to. You're the one that I want to come to with my problems, because I know that you'll be patient and listen and try to help me in any way that you possibly can. And again, that's that out of body experience. It's like, who the hell are they talking to? They talking to somebody else? Like, who the hell is the, you know what I mean? Like, who, they can count on me. You know, I'm the guy who used to show up at baseball games so drunk, and I was the coach. You know what I mean? I'm
Brew Baker. So,
Yes. So I'm going to turn it over to Paul, but I want to say, you know, this is such an awesome program. Mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by beautiful people now. We have a lot of people here tonight that hang out with us on a regular basis, and they've come to support, you know, AA and this group as a whole. And I can't tell you how much I love all of you guys and how much it means to me that I got the opportunity to serve tonight. When somebody asks, without a doubt, it's always a priority for me. So thanks.
Thanks,
Two.
Oh man. So I think one of the big things that I learned in this reading was many times throughout the day. So I was real good for a while at praying in the morning, 16 hours, cap it with a prayer at night. No idea what's happening in between, because I'm not in touch with anything other than my feelings. And so, like, I the challenge that I have found is, how do I do that throughout the day? How do I have that pause? And I guess I just had to slam my head against the wall so many times I knew I was going to destroy things, that I just innately pause now, because I know what's going to happen is going to be worse. And I got to tell you, you know, I've been sharing throughout the past year when I speak and tell my story and whatever about how many guys, it's been bad, but I got to tell you, I'd do every single bit of it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's not just me up here, blowing smoke. The growth that has come as a result of going through these things, finding that grace, finding a higher power, a relationship with something bigger than myself that I can no longer question, can no longer have any doubt in, and moving into new relationships with people that, man, it's, guys, it's really nuts. I would do it all over again. I'd probably be less dehydrated from crying, because I would know to like take more minerals on, but like I would do it all again. And I got to tell you, I want to tell you a real quick story about how this works. Right. So I lost my job in August of last year. I was top quartile. Everything was great. I was going to retire at this company. Been there for like 14 years. Everything's solid. Ring, ring. Hey, guess what? You don't have a job. Oh, okay. I can't log into my computer. It's 30 seconds later. Wow. Okay, great. So I lost that job that I had planned on like retiring at.
didn't freak out, didn't lose my mind. I made getting a job my job, right? I'm going to find a job. I'll just do it. So I just start working. I start working. Lots of dead ends, lots of near misses. And I get in my mind that I'm going to join the Coast Guard. And my cousin had this plan for me. It all worked out. I was about to sign on the dotted line, and they told me that, hey, you're going to age out of this program by 2 months by the time you're done with school. And that was my last chance. That was my last thing that I had my hopes on. I was crushed. Start screaming, crying in the backyard. I was so upset, dude. What do I do? All right, I've trained for this. Let me pick up the phone and call somebody in AA. I call a buddy of mine. He's got to get on a plane, but he walks me off the ledge. And I'm sitting there on the back of my truck with my like little legs dangling like a little kid. It's the beginning of fall. Birds are chirping. It's beautiful outside. I'm just sitting out there. And I was like, you know what I need to do now? I think I need to pray. So I get quiet and I'm like, God, I'm ready. Like, I don't know what your plan is, dude, but I'm here. Like, please just use me. And I'm praying. And then all of a sudden it's like, ring, ring, ring. I'm like, I look at my phone. It just says Cincinnati. I was like, I don't know anybody in Cincinnati. But I felt this nudge. It was like, pick it up. And I was like, it's Paul Jeffries. And the lady goes, hi, this is so-and-so from ADP. Would you like to do a panel interview tomorrow for a job that we've created? And I was like, it's like, sure. So I go through this month-long interview process. There's like 5 interviews. It was insane how hard it was to get this daggone job. But I get the job and the lady calls me with the offer. And I'm talking to her, and it was the same lady that called me out of the blue, out of nowhere. And I told her the story about how I had prayed and how she called right when I was praying, and she started tearing up, and I was tearing up. We were like crying together. It was weird. And then I was like, she was like, can I tell you my part of the story? I was like, I never assumed that you had a part of the story. I thought it was all about me. I don't know. God loves me. And so I did this. And so anyways, she goes, yeah, you know what's really weird about that? I had your, you were a high candidate because of another job interview. You just didn't have the skills, but I had your paperwork in my hand. And then I saw this job that mixed your skills perfectly. And you didn't even apply for that job. And I was like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, you never even applied for this job. I just thought it would be a good fit. And I was like, and you called me right at that second? She's like, mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And, you know, it's just insane to me how when I just show up and I offer myself and I just let God cook, dude, like I keep thinking of that phrase, let me just let God cook in my life. It's good and it works out. And sometimes I get freaked out about being alone later in life, or I get freaked out about derp, 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 and my brain starts running and I just have to refocus and be like, God, you got a plan, dude. Like, I'm just going to get out of the way and just show up and be a good dad today and be a good employee and be kind to the people in my life. And I'm telling you, man, it all works out. It's not how I think it should be. It's not how I planned it to be, but it's always what I need and is always better. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to leave it on that, man, because mm-hmm. Goddamn, I would do all this again, dude, just to get that knowledge and feel that in my heart.
Yeah. I love that you kept ended up in terrible places like jail and AA. Yeah.
Basically, Skid Row.
Yeah. Those two things I can think of is jail
and AA. Bunch of losers everywhere.
Surrounded by idiots.
Surrounded by you people.
We're stuck with each other.
That's why I say I insist on enjoying my sober life today.
Hell yeah.
Could we pass the baskets? What are the baskets? Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It's both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements tonight for the good of AA?
My name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello.
Sunday night beginners. Meet out in the Baptist Church,
Centerville Turnpike on the 17th with St. Patty's Day. We're going to be in that church for 5 years. So we're going to have a celebration. We're going to have dinner. Start at 5:30, and then we got a guest speaker at 7. So y'all come on out.
Who's your guest speaker?
Yeah, real good speaker.
Who's your speaker?
Who is it?
David Francis.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. Hey. Does he go? I'll go. I might
come on out.
Will there be corned beef?
Heard that guy's good.
This home group, Simple Actions, 3 weeks from tonight on March 25th. There are some, I don't see them. We're out of flyers, kids. We sold them all.
Sold out. It's going to be sold out. Get here early.
Anyway, 3 weeks from tonight, we're going to have a supper and a speaker. The meeting will start at the regular 7 o'clock time on that night. But at 6 p.m., we'll have a potluck. There'll be food all over those counters back there. If you bring it, because it's a potluck. So bring a dish. 6 p.m. we'll eat. 7 o'clock, we got Brian D. from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We're not telling everybody about this. We're not going to mention it to him either. But he wrote the story in here, Window of Opportunity.
Wait, we're not supposed to be telling him?
No, we're not telling everybody.
I've been telling everybody.
We're not telling everybody.
My bad.
Is that where he jumped out?
No, window? I don't want everybody walking up to him after the thing going, what's it like to write a story for the big book? Yeah. Just come here. Yeah. Anyway, did I mention the date? 3 weeks from tonight, March 25th. Okay. Any other announcements? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please feel free to do something. I lost my place. Please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands.
Hey. Home group.
There's literature available over yonder. Please see myself or any home group member after the meeting. Please, if you don't have a book, we want to get one in your hand. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. If you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Smokers, please use the butt can that may or may not be provided out there. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Cafe Stella on Colonial and 20th. Am I right?
22nd.
It's
before
20th,
but
yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Washington Park.
Next to Kogan's.
Next to Kogan's.
Bank of America.
You'll know.
Yeah.
Right. Put it right there.
Can we thank our panel one more time? And thank you, Joe, for running the Zoom meeting. And Joe is going to read the last, technically, three paragraphs on page 164.
Everybody, I'm Joe. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Joe.
If you're working 9 steps of alcoholic, this is on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you can see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right. Circle up.
Yeah.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, for thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not to temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Coming back.
Thank you.
Guys.
Leah.